The Greek gods are real, and they're ruining Percy Jackson's life. As a son of Poseidon, Percy has newly discovered powers he can't control. Monsters on his trail, and he is on an epic quest to find Zeus's lightning bolt and prevent a war between the gods. Normal is a myth when you're a demigod.
Welcome to Floor 600, a podcast where two friends read the Percy Jackson and the Olympian series. We are your hosts, Natalie
and Quinn.
Read or listen to the book along with us, or just enjoy this recap slash amateur critique of the series by Rick Riordan.
I love that you didn't update the intro for the musical episode.
Well,
we're not reversing it because I don't want to.
I was going to say, except on this episode, we're not reading anything.
Yeah, we didn't.
We didn't read a thing.
Well, I read a few articles.
I read the website because on this episode, we're talking about the musical.
Hooray! So we're doing the musical today. Yeah, so, and that definitely got us started on the podcast because we didn't really think about doing Percy Jackson until we were like, oh, wait, we're going to go see the musical, so why don't we read the books, and then we'll read the books, and we'll do a podcast. So here we are.
Yeah. And, I mean, the musical is so ridiculously popular.
It is. But I can't even tell anymore because I feel like I'm just immersed in Percy Jackson.
Yeah.
So I don't know what's happening in the outside world.
There's a world outside of Percy Jackson? Where?
Is there?
I don't know.
I thought what? Oh my God.
If you go on any of our social media, at this point there's not.
It's either Percy Jackson or Game of Thrones for me right now. So,
pretty big difference to get going there.
A very big difference. So we're covering The Lightning Thief, the musical. So The Lightning Thief, the Percy Jackson musical.
The Percy Jackson musical.
The, colon, the, one, the and Percy only. Jackson musical.
No, it's not. Oh, yeah. Never
mind. Colon. There's colon there.
I heard the colon Percy Jackson musical, colon. Not thief colon the Percy Jackson musical.
Yeah. Well, either way, it's a musical. It's Percy Jackson. So, with music and lyrics by Rob Rokicki, and book by Joe
Trax.
Yeah, he wrote the book. He wrote the script.
Oh. See, I was, like, trying to figure out what that was all about.
Why I didn't understand why I said what it book was. By Joe Trax and music and lyrics by Rob Rokicki?
Well, is it one of those books that's just, like...
No, it's, like, the script. They call the script the book. So instead of the... So the lyrics and music are the lyrics, but book is the spoken part.
Oh, that's stupid. Why do they call it that?
Because more than one person worked on it, and they wanted to give credit where credit's due.
Well, no, I'm not saying they shouldn't credit him. No. I just don't know why they call it the book.
I don't know why. I wasn't a theater major, so I couldn't tell you.
Okay. Well, if you are a theater major...
Tell us why it's called the book. I'm going to say it's called the book because sometimes... A script might be bound. It's like a butt.
That seems like a pretty good reason to me.
It's a crazy idea. But.
I still think it's dumb. I don't like that. I vote to change it to just call it the script. Cut all of this out. Okay. Good lord. This is why we... Need structure in our
lives.
We
do have structure, and sometimes we just go right over that. So we went and saw this musical together when it came
to
Chicago in January. It was their first stop on their tour.
I think we saw it on like the second day it was there too.
I have the date. What is it? I don't know. We saw it on January 10th. I think it opened on January 7th. So
8th.
Whatever. 7th or 8th.
Yeah. Anyway, we went and saw it at the Oriental Theater.
Yes.
In Chicago.
Yep. It was awesome.
It was
very
cool.
There was a whole bunch of 6th graders.
Yeah. While we were standing in line, I was looking around. I was like, we're the oldest people here besides the chaperones.
Yeah.
But then, like, when we were walking around, there were actually, like, people our age there and stuff, too, so. But, yeah, I remember you were like, hey, there's a musical about Percy Jackson, and it's coming to Chicago, and we should go see it. And I was like, I don't know about that.
And, well, okay, so I first heard of it in probably 2017 when it was on Broadway, like, the two-out, like, whatever the one that's touring right now was on Broadway. Because, I don't know, that's just in my news cycle, things that are on Broadway are in my news cycle. And I was like, oh, that sounds weird. And I listened to a few songs and I was like, oh, those sound... I was actually extremely disappointed when I first heard it. I was like, that's cute, but I wouldn't be able to... Like, honestly, before I saw the play, I couldn't listen to the full soundtrack. Yeah. I just couldn't follow it well and didn't hold my interest very well. And then we saw the play and I love it.
Yeah, I mean, you know, like, I like musicals. Like, when we saw Hamilton, like, you told me to listen to it ahead of time and I didn't do it then either because I don't like listening to
it. I honestly don't like that you don't listen to things before you see it. It bothers me.
Well, I don't like listening to it without the context, because once I have that, like, visual image of it in my mind, then I can put them together.
Yes, I understand that. But what I like about listening to musicals without seeing it is, like, or even just seeing, like, just a brief storyboard or just, like, the cover of their musical or whatever, and then listening to the thing, I want to be able to understand the story without seeing the play.
Okay.
Through the music. And I get really excited when I get a full... when you get this full soundtrack and you understand everything that goes on in the play. And I wouldn't say that The Lightning Thief is that. I think it's close to that.
Yeah.
It's still great.
Yeah, so we... So you had already kind of listened to it
before we went. I never really got fully through because I kept getting annoyed.
Yeah.
But when it did come to Chicago, I was like, I can't miss this. And then it was on, like, we got Black Friday sale tickets. And I was like, all right.
We're doing it.
It's a lot cheaper now, too. So let's go. And I don't know how excited you were, but...
I mean, I'm always excited to see plays and musicals and stuff. I think going into it, I was like, this is going to be so campy.
Yeah, and, like, that's what I was goofy. Sort of scared of. That it was going to take itself as more of a joke than serious.
Well, I was kind of afraid it was going to take itself too seriously.
Oh, I was sort of confused. I was unsure if it was going to be like a Harry Potter musical, like the Harry Potter musical Star Kid thing.
Yeah.
And be like complete joke. But also, that's a very good adaptation for smushing 7 books into one play. And then they did a sequel and a prequel and stuff. And they just add to it. It's great.
Also, like, I was a little bit afraid of, you know, they're all supposed to be 12.
Yeah.
And I was like, you can't cast a bunch of 12-year-olds in a musical.
We can. Look at Annie. And a lot of times it doesn't work. Sorry, Annie's exactly. In the world.
Yeah, I mean, I guess you can. It's just really rough to do. And, I mean, especially touring around the whole nation. It's not like they're based in New York or something.
Mm-hmm.
No, at this point.
No. They were at one point. Yeah. And so do you want to talk about how the musical came to be?
Sure.
Okay. So we already said that the music and lyrics are by Rob Ricci and the book is by Joe Trax. Book. Highlight. but so it was first made as a 1 hour, so one act musical, and it was like really short, and they just got to the fun bits, but it still kept, like, a lot of the songs are still the same, and you can find a bootleg copy of that on YouTube.
Shh, they're gonna take it down now.
Shh. And then, but that was in 2014, that was a one act, and then someone said, came up to him and was like, you should try and do this more. Mm-hmm. And so by 2017, they had turned the one act into a two-act, full musical that could be on Broadway and do stuff. It was hopping. People were happening. All great reviews. Well, probably not all. I didn't read many.
A lot. There's a lot of good ones.
There are a lot of really good
especially
reviews.
If you go on lightningthiefmusical.com.
I wonder why they highlight the good reviews.
I know that, obviously. But there's still, like, there's a lot of them.
I think the one... I read one review by... it's in the Hollywood Reporter. It's by Frank
Sheck.
Frank Sheck wrote a Theta review in 2017 when it was in New York. And I think everything was just rave review. He just loved it. And he thought it was a really good adaptation. And I think the only thing that he said negative was that you might want to read the book beforehand.
Oh, yeah.
And I totally agree.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you... I feel like you'd miss some points, and you would definitely miss some jokes if you did not read the book.
Yeah, like, if you just went in and then, like, with no previous context, somehow you got through the world without any Percy Jackson in your life, and then you just went and saw that musical, you might have some questions after.
Yeah.
I feel like, I didn't quite get this joke, but...
Yeah, I was listening to an interview that WGN Radio did with... Jor-El, the guy who plays Grover, when it was in Chicago. And the two people interviewing him had never read the book, had not seen the play, and were sort of just like, so, what are you doing in Chicago? It was a really awkward interview, and he did a really good job at trying to steer it back into, no, this is a really cool play.
Yeah.
And I learned that. So he graduated last May, or 2 Mays ago, or whatever.
From college?
Yeah, from college, and then went to New York. He was in New York for maybe, like, 3 months, and he got Grover Touring Company. And
wow.
So they kept coming back to that, and they were like, that is crazy. You weren't there for long, and you've gotten this pretty big role.
Talk about a resume builder.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's insane. I know, like... You just hear so much about people who are like, I'm going to go to New York and make my fortune or whatever.
And you sort of just like smile and nod and think, oh, they're going to have a hard life.
It's just like months and months and months of like waiting table and so stuff.
And he was there for a few months and got a really great gig.
That's incredible.
Yeah. And so the cast that's touring right now, basically, everybody is the original, or at least Percy and Annabeth are the original cast. They had to get a new Grover. I'm not completely sure about the other actors. I'm pretty sure Luke is the same actor. But not gonna put money on it.
I won't bet you.
So
it's really evolved a lot from where it started.
Yeah.
It's really cool.
Mm-hmm. It's exciting.
Mm-hmm. All right. So... Some changes that were made.
Yep. So, adaptation. We talked a lot about adaptation in the last episode with a bad adaptation. Would you say that this is a good adaptation or a bad adaptation?
I would say this is one of the best adaptations I've ever seen.
Yes. Especially into a musical, because that's an extra layer.
Yeah. Like, you can't...
It doesn't work for everything.
No, it doesn't.
I was going to say, you can't make Les Mis into a musical.
You can't make, I don't know, Alexander Hamilton's life into, oh wait.
Oh wait, oh dear. What would be hard to make into a musical? Because I feel like a lot of recent musicals have proved a lot of that wrong. The idea is like of...
The Lord of the Rings.
That might be a very difficult musical.
There's just so much detail.
But the book already has the songs.
That's true. So maybe you could... Well, they're all so slow, though.
They're all so slow.
You might be able to turn The Hobbit into a musical.
Yeah. And I know that they made Tolkien's life into a musical. I don't know if it was great, but they did do a Tolkien musical. It looked weird. I saw a few commercials, and I was like, that looks strange. And... Who knows? I did look into going, but then I was like, oh, it's 4 hours away.
Never mind. But yeah, I thought this was really faithful. It kept the, and this is a huge difference from the movie, I felt. It kept that, like, childlike joy of the story and, like, telling a story for children that the movie totally,
yeah,
it just lost all of that.
And I think because they are supposed to be still be 12 and yeah. they are being played by older actors,
yeah,
but what do you expect? But
yeah, exactly.
I think they do a really good job at still acting like they're 12, especially Percy.
Mm-hmm.
So Chris McCarroll is just he's just amazing.
It's so funny to like see him in the musical and then go on his like Instagram.
He's so just like
all these like wonderfully aesthetically pleasing photographs of like him and his boyfriend and stuff, and then he's like, "Oh, every night I play a 12-year-old boy on stage." Like, do a great job.
And then Jor-El, the guy who plays Grover, he's just great, and I feel like his life person, like the person who he is in real life, is very similar to Grover,
yeah,
in just like bubbling with enthusiasm for, yeah, whatever. But maybe that's just what he puts out on the world. But either way, it makes me happy.
That's all we have to go off of, so. Yeah, and I think like they're all really good.
Yeah, and like they made changes,
mm-hmm,
from the book, but I think that they're all changes that I can live with.
Mm-hmm. Like they hit all the most important points.
Yeah, and they even hit stuff like because they had to go by fast, especially with a lot of the side quests.
Mm-hmm.
So they hit by some miracle. They hit the Golden Gate Arch and not the Golden Gate Arch.
What? Are we in San Francisco or are we in Missouri?
We're in all of them. The Arch and the Chimera with the... And
yeah.
And they also hit the Lotus Casino. And it's always just brief, like, oh, look, it's the Arch. Oh, look, it's a dog. It's a Chimera. Run away. And then like, they're like, oh, let's go in here. It's,
yeah,
the Lotus Casino. Percy, you stupid. Like... It's just,
yeah,
so great that they're able to hit all of these points.
I mean, if they lingered on everything, like...
It would have been a 4-hour
It would be
musical.
Les Mis, like, essentially.
Exactly. Yeah, so they cut a few things out. Like, they cut Procrustes out.
Mm-hmm. I like how you touched your arm to, like,
demonstrate
the stretching of the
Well,
arm.
I was trying to remember his name, and I was like, Procrustes. I don't know why my arm helped
stretching
me remember that.
He's such a small part of the story, I felt like.
Exactly.
That was fine.
And they cut the Tunnel of Love out. But again, as long as Ares is in there, I'm fine with that. Ares is in there. He has the whole plot. Kronos is in there. They have the whole thing. Everything is good.
Yes.
And I think the main part from the movie episode we talked about was that they didn't have Kronos in there and they didn't really,
mm-mm,
realize Luke's character as a bad guy, and we didn't get any of that background info.
Yeah, and there's no Ares.
Yeah, and there's no Ares.
There's
so
no Talia.
Exactly. And so we get all of that, and it's just wonderfully done, and you can,
mm-hmm,
it almost like it leads into we could have a sequel.
Yeah.
Which would be crazy if they
did a Sea
of Monsters musical, because then it would be like, oh, do they show... It would be amazing.
I would buy those tickets so fast.
I would be really interested in how would they would do that, because,
yeah,
would they have the Lightning Thief running at the same time as Sea of Monsters? Be like Cursed Child
is parts 1 and 2.
Parts 1 and 2. Would they do it at the same time?
That would be so cool.
It would be. Come on, you guys. Work on it.
Get on it. I guess, yeah, you mentioned that the day I got expelled kind of speeds things up a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, which is good.
Yeah.
Because honestly, the beginning of the book's a little slow.
Mm-hmm.
I did not like how in the musical, like, I don't remember exactly what it is, but when they're at the Met, Chiron asks Percy a question. He's like, I don't know. And that bugged me so much because he is not dumb.
I didn't mind it because I loved Mrs. Dodds going,
Mrs. Dodds was really funny.
Yeah. I was like, hello, everybody. I'm a scary-looking substitute.
And I love it in that part of the song where she's like, I've heard a lot about you, Percy Jackson. And he's like,
Wow, that's a lot of work for a substitute. That is
dedication. He's just like, this is really weird. Yeah. But I love how when they give, when Percy first gets riptied, and there's several points where he just goes, this is a pen.
And then, like, this is a sword.
And it's he's like, this is a pen.
I love that they, it's like a really simple set and just design and props and everything. And mm-hmm. so whenever they do have like a pen to a sword move, it's just huge. Like everyone just goes, gasp.
Yeah. Yeah, the set and costumes were really good. I always love it when they have like a limited set, but mm-hmm. they use it super well.
Yeah.
And like they had the little yellow scaffolding thing that was yeah. the bus that they were like pedaling.
Because they have like scaffolding on all sides, and they had like on the background it's like like Greek pillars.
Yeah.
In between with scaffolding. Mm-hmm. And then they had scaffoldings on the side of the stage that they could pull out and use as props.
Right.
And then there's even a point that they bring out like miniature pillars that they can stand on and yeah. stuff. Everything has the same look, and they just like pretend this is a motorcycle. Go.
Yeah. And it's like, one, they're traveling, mm-hmm. so it has to be portable.
Yeah.
And two, it's just like, I love that because it shows like they're able to use so much creativity yeah. with such a limited amount of stuff.
And I feel like it fits really well with just how Percy Jackson, like, mm-hmm. the books are, because they are very much like, we use everyday things to fight not everyday things.
Right.
So everything on the stage were just normal things yeah. that we were supposed to use our imagination.
Exactly.
Or it's the mist is obstructing our eyes to see.
It's actually the most complicated set you've ever seen in your life.
Yeah, but the mist just doesn't work.
It kind of reminded me of the Hamilton set, actually, because the Hamilton set has it's the stuff simple. Along the back and the side, and then the stairs let down there.
Yeah.
And it kind of reminded me of that, because they were running up and down and, mm-hmm. like, literally running across the scaffolding.
Yeah. And, like, because you said, like, what else it reminded you of in the notes. And I sort of reminds me of Newsies, and I wrote that down in the notes. But at the same time, Newsies is a completely different show. And,
yeah, like, I haven't seen that one.
It's on Netflix.
The recording of the yeah, production?
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
But, like, the whole set of it, of Newsies, is, they're, like, scaffolding and stuff. Mm. Like, you're running, they're fire escapes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Cool. And then, like, move them around, and they add stuff, and they have fancy things. But, like, Newsies has, like, probably had, like, 20 times the budget of yeah. Percy Jackson. And also, like, 5,000 times the amount of people on stage. Because I also thought it was really cool because, like, they had a simple set, but they also have a simple cast. They only had 7 cast members.
Right.
And everyone's playing different roles other yeah. than Annabeth and Prissy.
So, yeah, a bunch of the, like, a lot of the characters play and others.
Yes.
Which is
like, fun. The guy who plays Chiron also plays Poseidon.
Yeah.
And Luke also plays Ares, and Grover also plays Mr. D, which I love. I love that. I love Mr. D and Grover. Yeah. I love that actor.
And Jalynn Steele plays Sally and others.
Yeah, well, including Charon, which they changed yeah. from the book, and they made Charon a
oh my gosh.
Woman. And she
not
is
complaining.
Amazing.
Not complaining.
I love everything about DOA record. Like, everything.
It's so cool.
And they have, like, the, like, Vienna Boys Choir come up. And
yeah.
And they have, like, Kurt Cobain. And what is it? Like, oh, do you have any Josh Groban? She's like, we will.
Yeah, she's so cool. She's, like, super fabulous. Not complaining about that at all.
Nope.
Also, side note. That's not a side note, it's just a comment. This also reminded me of Hamilton in that they cast based on talent and not color of your skin.
Yes.
I don't know if that's like standard practice at this point.
Yeah, it should be.
Should be. But is it?
I saw a lot of like things that are just like people are like praising the casting of Sally, just because there's she's a lot
amazing.
Of, yeah, she's amazing. And there's a lot of fan theories about whether Percy is Latino.
Yeah.
And people are like, oh, they're getting closer to my fan theory being.
I can definitely see Percy being Latino, and
I can too.
So can Rick Riordan,
yes.
According to his Twitter.
I love, there's like one artist that only draws Percy as Latino, and he is just so beautiful.
in my personal canon, they're Latino. Latinx, I think, is the way to say it now.
I don't know.
Also, I loved the Camp Half-Blood banner. I love that so much. It's like,
and
it's
they only put it up for the Camp Half-Blood scenes, and then, and I love at the end when Luke grabs it and runs away because he's destroying Camp Half-Blood. it's so good.
And then they put it back up, and you can just kind of see Annabeth and, is it the woman who played Talia?
Clarice?
We don't see Talia in this, do we?
The woman who plays Clarice is also Talia.
Oh. Okay. I was like, am I losing my mind?
No.
Yeah, so it is Talia.
But it's Talia as Clarice.
Okay.
Annabeth, Talia does not come back from the dead to put up a banner. It's still Clarice.
Okay, yeah, I'm getting two parts confused in my head.
Yes, and and the actor who plays it, when we saw it, at least was Sarah Beth Pfeiffer.
Yeah. Okay. So the... There's that part where they're putting the Camp Half-Blood banner back up,
mm-hmm.
and you're going to see them, velcroing it to the bar. A little bit, super incognito. Low-key, heavy-duty velcroing this right now.
Well, what I loved about that when Luke tore it down is that I was unsure if it was supposed to be happening, because immediately someone else picks it up and starts putting it back up. And I was like, oh my God, was that a flaw in the production? Oh dear, they're freaking out backstage right now. And then I was like, oh no, that was all meant to be. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, I can calm down.
I also loved Percy's t-shirt. It looks like it's literally glowing when he's on stage.
I can't even think of what it is. And I was just looking at images of it. Is it the blue and white striped?
Yeah. And the way it's made, it just looks like it's literally glowing.
Yeah.
I was like, oh my God, that is the best t-shirt I've ever seen in my life.
You just want the t-shirt.
I do. Low-key do. Not even low-key, it's high-key. And freaking, look at the Minotaur. Look at those hooves. It's hilarious.
I know. I think they did such a good job with the monsters, because they still just have 7 cast members. And so they have, some other guy quickly put on this costume in the backstage. Go!
Talk about, lightning speed costume changes.
Yeah. It's so impressive.
It is. And then Ryan Knowles, a.k.a. Chiron,
AKA
also plays Medusa.
Yeah.
I like how her, dress is made out of snakeskin as well.
Mm-hmm.
It's hilarious. If you don't know what we're talking about, go on their website and look
at
the pictures.
Their images.
Because they're amazing.
So we talked about things we liked, and it's everything.
Yeah. I feel like this is gonna be a short episode.
We didn't really talk about Talia, because that was completely skipped out of the movie.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought it was just so beautiful the way they did it in
it was so
the
cool.
play. Because first they have a full song where Grover, and it's sob worthy. And what's amazing about it is when he's doing this song and he's telling the story of Talia, you see Talia and Annabeth and Luke in the background on one of the scaffolds, sort of acting out, running away and then fighting. And then when Talia dies, Annabeth and Luke become the branches of the tree.
Yeah.
And it's just so well done, and it's just
it's so written, sad. Or it's lit in this red backlight kind of thing. And it's, oh my gosh, it's so well done.
If you haven't listened to the song, it's called The Tree on the Hill. Grover is singing it. It's very sad because it's Grover.
I love Grover.
I feel like even in the book we sort of forget that Grover
has emotions.
And he's lost a lot of people.
Yeah, he has.
Mm-hmm. Including his Uncle Ferdinand.
Poor Uncle Ferdinand.
But yeah, it's just such a touching song and touching moment, and it's just something we completely missed out of in the movie. Yeah. Speaking of the movie, I saw someone, and they actually sort of made a good point. They were like, do we like this musical because it's a good adaptation and a good musical? Or is it we are just so used to horrible adaptations that now that something that is slightly good, it's just perfect in every way? And I would like to say that, in part, that person is correct. I wouldn't say, like, if I had not seen, if the movie didn't exist, this would be a, it's really cool what they did with it, I feel.
Yeah, like, I can see your point, but also we're not talking about a musical that had, like, $1 million budget.
Exactly.
Or people who are, like, really super seasoned actors. Like,
yeah.
I mean, like you said, Jarrell was in New York for 3 months.
Mm-hmm.
And I think taking all of that into consideration, it's really good regardless.
Yes, I do think it's really good regardless, but I think that it could be better. I don't know, I'm bad at saying something's perfect, because I don't think anything can really be perfect.
I don't think so
either. And so there's always room for improvement. Maybe Sea of Monsters will be just as good. They'll have a full scene where Chris McCarroll is a guinea pig.
Aww.
He'll just be, I don't know, scooting around on the floor going,
No, like, I mean, but then we talked about the movie being so completely different that it's basically not even its own thing.
Yes.
Or it basically is its own thing. It's not even, like,
but I want
part of the book anymore. Yeah.
So I wonder if there was a different, we talked a little bit about this in the last episode, like, if there was a different adaptation of, like, if there's a new movie or a new TV series or something, and it was done, like, almost word for word, would we still be just so excited about the musical? Because I feel like this is our first good adaptation.
Yeah. But also, at the same time, why do we have to compare it?
That's true.
Like, can't it just be worthy because it's good?
I think it should be.
I think so, too. Though, I mean, I see your point, but at the same time, I think it's, like...
Yeah. But I'm just saying that, like in 10 years, if we'll look back, will we still think that this was a perfect adaptation?
I don't know. I mean, I left that musical knowing that it was slightly campy and silly, like I thought it was going to be.
Yes.
But also
so
very
excited.
Pleased with how they did it. With the script and the music and the actors and just the faithful adaptation of the books. Because it carries along all those things that we love about the book.
And, like, the book is campy. So it's good that the musical is campy.
And that they're for kids.
Exactly.
So,
like, we should sort of talk about the kids that were in the theater with us.
Oh my gosh.
It was so amazing. I was so excited for their excitement.
Okay, so just laying the scene a little bit. We walk into the Oriental Theater. It's this beautiful, regal theater. It filled to the brim with children between the ages of 9 and 16. Sorry, if you're 16, you're a child, technically a teenager, but whatever. So there were like 3 or 4 rows of third graders.
No, they were not third graders. Have you seen third graders?
You know Jude's a third grader?
I know, but those were sixth graders.
You sure?
Yes.
Okay. Anywhere between third and sixth grade. I think sixth grade is too high. I think
okay,
they were
I'll
like fourth graders.
I'll give you fifth. I think they were 12.
I don't think so.
I do. I think they were 12.
They were really immature for 12-year-olds.
Because they're 12-year-olds.
I swear, their teacher said that they were in third grade.
Oh, I didn't hear that. But whatever, they were kids and they were enjoying
themselves. They were so freaking cute.
Themselves. And, there were multiple points where a lot of the kids had definitely listened to the soundtracks. And like 3 girls sitting right in front of us who were just, like, singing and bouncing and dancing, and they kept getting yelled at by their teacher, and I was like, I'm enjoying them enjoying themselves.
Yes. And she was more distracting than the girls were.
It was, yeah.
I was like, just leave them alone. This is not made for us,
for
you or me or her. It's made for them.
Yeah.
So calm down, sit down, you're blocking my view of Christmas Carol dancing.
Yeah. They are, like, the kids are not blocking any kind of view. Yeah. The teacher walking through the aisle saying, excuse me, shh, and walking back going, excuse me.
And then just, like, standing there, like, until the kids stopped having fun. Mm-hmm. Like, why did you bring them and then yell at them?
Yeah.
This doesn't make any sense.
But I thought it was great because there was a lot of classes there. Yeah. They were all, like, school classes. So I wonder if the musical is sort of, like, reaching out to schools.
Yeah. Probably.
I would think so. But I know that Hamilton does that, like, reaches out directly to students and, like, our teachers.
Sometimes they have, like, occasional field trips. Yeah.
Yeah. And also, because it was there, or, like, The Lightning Thief was open for, like, a week in Chicago.
Yeah, it wasn't very long.
So, like, all these teachers who wanted to go take their students to see this because they were reading the book had to take them.
Right now.
So, I doubt that it's different in any other city that they go to.
Yeah, probably not. I mean, their marketing people are probably, like, on top of it months ahead researching schools to reach out to.
Yeah.
Be like, if you bring off 40 of your students. and if they're not, they should be. I don't know. But yeah, I loved how much they loved it.
Yes.
It was so cute.
It was just so entertaining and so cute, and I loved it. So do you want to talk to about any specific things you didn't like?
Okay, so as I was writing this out, I was like, I didn't, so, you know, on the, behind the scaffolding, they have the Greek style columns.
Yeah.
And I didn't understand the graffiti on them mm-hmm. at first, but then the more I thought about it and, like, I looked at the playbill and stuff, like, I think they're just playing into, like, the fact that it's in New York.
Yeah.
So, like, even though it's Greek, like, they still have that, like, modern aspect of it.
Mm-hmm. I know, and I was trying to think about it, and I don't know. I honestly don't know what I don't like about it. I think there's some songs that are better than others, and I think there's some, like everything, there's always something that's better than something else.
Right.
But I don't think I could point at a specific thing and say, this was horrible, they should never do it again.
Yeah, exactly. Like, it was just an enjoyable experience.
Yeah, and I love, like, they were able to, like, depict Percy's water powers on stage. I was like, I don't know how they're gonna do this.
Yeah.
And it's toilet paper. Of course it's toilet paper. Why else? What else would it be?
I was trying to explain the toilet paper guns. I was like, it's like a Nerf gun, but on the end there's a roll of toilet paper.
No, it's not like a Nerf gun. It's a leaf blower that they put a toilet paper.
Oh yeah, you're right.
Roll on the end.
You're right. Either way, it's hilarious.
It is, and it was great. I was really jealous of the people in the front row getting covered in toilet paper. Do you have any specific songs that you want to talk about?
No.
Not really.
Do you?
I think that we can... So, like, I think it's so hard to pick a favorite song out of them. I would say it's either Another Terrible Day. Just, like, I love it. I love it so much. Mr. D is hilarious.
Oh, yeah. I did love him and, like, his lyrics.
The Drive song is definitely going to be on my road trip playlist. No matter what, it's going to be there. It's just so... It's a nice... Drive.
I wish my foot
on the pedal.
I wish I could remember which song the girls got, like, so excited about.
What was it? I think it was I'm a Smart, or, like, I've always
yeah been smart one. The Smart Kid one.
Yeah. Why can't My Grand Plan? That's what it's called.
Yeah.
The campfire song is just great. I think it's just so good. It really introduces you to Camp Half-Blood.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, yeah, there's not only these two characters there. Like, you're not just introduced to Annabeth and Luke when you're at Camp Half-Blood.
Right.
You're introduced to all these different people.
And I like how they're like, come on, Percy, sing. And he's like, I don't even know.
Yeah.
Like, what, like, you guys are talking about.
Like, what's the... He's just like, like, my mom's name's Sally. She loves cool food. Like, or something. What is the word?
It's so cute. Oh, also, blue food.
Yes, they kept the blue food in there. It's so nice. And then the song that Sally sings, Strong. Strange. The song that Sally sings with, Strong.
Oh, yeah.
With Percy is just so sweet, and it's like, oh, like, you're not weird. Everyone's weird.
Yeah. I love Sally. You would be
weird
if
you weren't weird. And then that would make you weird.
So, you know how a lot of people say that the fact that, you know, like, Chiron is in a wheelchair and Grover has crutches and Percy has dyslexia and ADHD. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people say that, like, it's
inclusive.
Yeah, because it's, you know, showing that your disabilities aren't everything you are.
Yeah.
If you are a person with disabilities,
don't necessarily restrict you completely.
Yeah, exactly. I heard a counter argument to that, and I just could not agree. And they were like,
I don't understand how you could have a counter argument.
Yeah, they were basically saying that instead of, you know, saying, oh, you might have this disability or this thing that you have to work on, but you're actually still an awesome person and not defined by that, they were arguing that it's like, oh, you have a disability, but actually you're awesome. And it was like,
I wouldn't say it was that.
Counteract. Yeah. I did not agree with that at all.
I don't agree with that. Because I do sometimes doubt whether Grover's crutches is a good example of having, and Chiron's wheelchair is a good example of having disabilities, because they don't.
Yeah, that's what they were saying, I think. Like, you're not actually disabled, you're just a super cool person with powers.
Well, yeah, when it's specifically Grover and Chiron. But I think when it comes to just the half-bloods in general, especially, like, Percy with his dyslexia and ADHD, that's definitely restricted him in his life, and I don't think you can say that isn't. And despite that, he is who he is, you know?
Yeah, right. And yeah.
And I think in the book, Annabeth even talks about, I'm dyslexic. I have, like, I'm maybe a child of Athena, but I have trouble reading and stuff. Like, so she, like, all of these people have had their troubles.
Right. And then, but they're still able to, like, push through that.
Yes.
And be like, actually, I'm just really bomb.
And even though Grover and Chiron are not actually disabled in any way, they do live in the mortal world as a disabled people, so they would still have those restrictions.
Yeah, and I think it's not just that, but it's also taking into account how people look at people with disabilities without getting past that disability.
Yeah.
So when they're in the mortal world, you know, they're in a wheelchair or whatever, but then, like, if you get to know them beyond that, then they're actually awesome.
Yeah.
Well, they're not actually awesome. I shouldn't say that, but, like, you know what I mean.
Yeah. Oh, God.
Words are hard sometimes.
I know. And I think what was cool about because definitely in the musical, I completely forgot that Grover was carrying around crutches a lot of times.
Mm-hmm.
And then I loved it when he had his goat pants. They were just so cute. And they were really, they were cool. Like, feet on feet, and then, like, you still saw his legs, and it was just very cool.
Yeah.
Costume.
It was neat. All the costumes were fun.
Mm-hmm. Because they were just everyday clothes that they made not every day.
Right.
Yeah. Loved freaking Chiron and his little horse tail, because I'm going to say they didn't have the budget or they couldn't figure out how to put a horse butt on stage. So instead, they just put a little horse tail, and he walks like a horse.
And he wore a brown suit. It was just so funny. It was just so hilarious. He was awesome.
I think walking out of this theater, everybody was trying to walk like him. Just like, yes, Alicia walked fabulously like him. Like how, oh God, why can't I think? James Bond and Pierce Brosnan in whatever walks like a human, this guy walks like a horse.
Yeah. Because he actually, like, have seen a horse walk before.
Exactly. And CGI so was not involved.
Can we also talk about Ryan Knowles as Poseidon? Because he is freaking awesome.
I loved it.
He's so funny.
Like, hey, dude. We might have the Shaka. Is that the Shaka? Haka? Shaka. I don't know.
It's probably
the
Shaka.
Pinky thumb.
Hang
out.
Loose is hang what loose. I usually call it. Yeah. Yeah, and then Percy's like on the floor and he's like, what does he say?
Like, oh, it's a seashell.
Yeah. Because Poseidon hands Percy the seashell or whatever.
Yeah.
And he's like, Percy's like, what's this? And he's like, it's a seashell. And then Poseidon walks away and Percy's like, it's a seashell.
It is called the Shaka.
Okay.
Ha ha ha. I don't know why I know that, but I do.
That's really random. It's so funny.
I'm trying to think of other songs and specifics. Oh, I wrote something down, I remember.
As we got off on this super long
As we
tangent.
Went on a tangent.
Surprise, surprise.
Oh, so the song Put You in Your Place. Clarice says, I feel your spirit starting to send. She can capture her heart, but I'm capture the flag or whatever. But she says, like, capture her heart, and she's talking about Annabeth, and I wonder if she has feelings for Annabeth.
You're so obsessed with Clarice.
I know. I want more about Clarice.
You're like, that's your thing right now.
It really is. I wonder, because I've told you that someone told me that I was a bully in high school, and we knew each other in high school. I don't remember myself as a bully, so now I feel like when I read stuff where, like, the bully is made fun of, I feel like, maybe she doesn't see herself as a bully.
Aww. You know? Yeah, but you give her too much credit. She's mean.
She's very mean.
She tries to shove Percy's head in a toilet.
Well, I don't know. I can't defend that. It'd be funny.
Oh, gosh. No, I do. I mean, Clarice is a cool character, I guess, but I don't know.
I think she's just an interesting character. Yeah. I think, and I know that her character changes a lot, so I like to watch her in the early books.
Yeah.
And see how she changes.
Right. Mm-hmm. She is interesting. I don't know. I really loved the DOA record scene.
Yes.
That was one of my favorite parts. It's so funny. But, like, the music in general is just really fun. It's, like, funky and cute. And it's, like,
mm-hmm.
I don't know. I liked it.
Yeah. It was fun.
Yes, it is.
So, would you want people to see this?
Would I? Yes.
Yes. I would, too. I don't think I would recommend anyone not see it.
Whereas, I would definitely recommend no one see the movie.
Yeah. Or maybe watch the movie after the musical and see, like, this is where we've come. We've come so far.
Read the book, see the musical, then watch the movie.
I actually saw an interview where, so this interview with Rob Rokicki, and he's discussing, like, the musical, of course. But he's asked a question about, like, you've had the movie before, so were you wary going in? And he was like, mm-hmm. Of course. We're adapting a well-loved book. We're gonna try and do it good, and especially since the fans have been hurt before, we don't want to hurt them again.
You were so let down.
Yeah, we had lots of hearts and minds to win over. I think we made a very concerted effort, all of us.
And you can tell, like, that translates mm-hmm. into the production, for sure.
Yeah, and we thought as long as we stayed true to the message of the book and Uncle Rick.
Did he really say that?
Yes, oh my Uncle gosh. Rick. And stay the course, then we will win them over. And I think we have Rick's agents, blah, 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 blah.
Rick liked it? Is that
Rick,
what he's saying?
Rick liked it, and Woo! Rick and his agents all were supportive, and they helped them out. And that is from an interview on Hypeable. It's an interview between Irvin Kaytman, K-H-A-Y-T-M-A-N, Kaytman, and Rob Rokicki. Find it.
This is why I don't feel bad about pronouncing the Greek names wrong, because exactly. You can't pronounce any names.
I found a book, we'll probably talk about it in other episodes when we're talking about, oh my gods and stuff. that I've been reading, like, it's an anthology type thing. They tell the stories over again, and he puts, like, an asterisk in for, like, really complicated names, and he's like, this is pronounced blah, 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 blah.
Oh, nice.
And he's like, thank God. And he's really fun about it, too, so he puts, like, normal words in this pronunciation, and I'm like, thank you. Thank
you.
That's
awesome. Yeah, I would definitely recommend people see it.
Yeah, it's really good. I would also recommend you see it.
Just... Chicago right now because they're not there anymore.
Not there. If you're going, I'm not saying you should bootleg it, but but wink wink. Not saying it. Wink.
Also,
and then send us the link.
Oh my gosh. Do not film.
And if you are caught, no one told you to do this.
Oh my god. Well, actually helpful fact. There is a Twitter account.
Twitter account is amazing.
Well.
Oh, wait.
Yes, their actual official Twitter. People are very funny, and that's my kind of marketing. But I was going to say that there is a different account called Help the Half-Bloods, and they just, like, seek out tweets from people who are like, I have a ticket to sell or whatever.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, so they retweet those, and I saw a few the other day from wherever they were. Or they tweet, like, whenever the tickets go on sale and stuff like that.
That's cool.
So if you're on the Twitter, follow floor_600 and Help the Half-Bloods. They're pretty neat.
But yeah, watch this musical if you can. Steal it if you can. Wink, wink, wink. I don't know.
I don't think you can say things like that.
I know, I probably can't. But there is a few, like, bootleg, or not a few. I found one bootleg copy. Literally, I googled Lightning Thief bootleg.
Oh.
And mostly it's of a corner. You can sometimes see the tops of people's heads.
It's like somebody, like, off stage.
Yes.
Filming it. Yeah, it's great. They're in New Orleans right now.
Oh, cool.
So if you're in that neck of the woods.
Well.
Neck of the bog.
Will they still be in New Orleans when this is released?
I don't know. It says next stop New Orleans on their Twitter.
Okay, then New Orleans, it is. Yeah, and then I think Rob Rikiki just released a graphic novel / rock musical called Monster Songs, where he and I think someone else wrote songs about the, like, classic movie monsters.
Oh, that's so cool.
And I guess that I don't know, it sounds really cool, so I recommend that. I don't know why I'm recommending it. I haven't read it or listened to it, but it sounds fun.
If you really liked his style, check that out, too.
Yeah, and then the Joe Tracks, also, he wrote a musical called Be More Chill that is on Broadway now and getting crazy reviews. So if you like more of their stuff, you can find more of their stuff. Yeah, and if you like more of our stuff, you can find more of our stuff on this crazy thing called social media. So you can follow us on Instagram and Twitter at floor_600. You can follow us on Tumblr on floor600podcast. I don't really do much on Tumblr, but you can do it.
Email us your stories, comments, thoughts, Percy Jackson memes. I don't know. You could probably just tweet those at us, but you could send us an email at floor600.podcast@gmail.com.
Yeah, and guess what our next episode's going to be?
Sea of Monsters!
We're finally starting a new book. It's so exciting.
Yay.
I've been so ready for this.
So excited.
Hooray. Stay tuned for that.
And we have a new plug.
We do have a new plug.
Exciting.
New things
Kinda
for
nervous.
You to do.
Yeah, if you can. Or if you want to, or both.
But we are launching a Patreon.
Yeah. So we thought it would be good to talk about this with the Lightning Thief musical episode.
And we'll probably talk about it again.
Yeah.
But, so.
Especially since this marks the kind of the end of our season.
Yeah.
So we thought, hey, let's make an announcement. So you can join us on Patreon. I don't know why I feel, like, nervous about talking about this, but
give us your money. No.
So you all know how Patreon works. Basically, it's a membership website where you sign up. You kind of become like our member for a donation every month. And then you get cool extra content from Quinn and me.
Yeah.
So we are not really planning on using this Patreon to support us. We are using it to put money back into our show.
Yeah, like get another mic because right now we only have one.
Yeah.
Maybe like, I don't know.
Yeah. We also need to host our episodes somewhere.
Yes.
Which also costs money.
Uh-huh. See, podcasts are fun and they also cost money. So help us keep this alive. You can donate as much or as little to the Patreon as you want. There are different tiers. You can be the clear-sighted mortal, so you can see the monsters, but you can't do really anything about it.
And that one that one is just $1 or more.
Mm-hmm. What do you get for that?
So if you join as a clear-sighted mortal, you get access to our private Facebook community.
We do have it. First thing you do when you get there, you sort yourself into a godly parent. I don't know. I was going to say into a house, but you don't have a house.
Into a cabin.
Into a cabin.
There you go.
And then you can post whatever fun stuff about the episodes or about Percy Jackson in general or just thoughts you have. Or,
interact with us. Talk to each other. You can also join as a half-blood, which is $5 or more per month.
Mm-hmm.
With that membership, you still get access to our private Floor 600 Facebook page, and you get access to one extra episode a month.
Hooray. Who knows what those will be.
You can join as a camper for $10 more a month. You get all the above, plus a one-time Instagram stories shout-out.
Ooh.
What? And if you join as a quester, you get access to the private Floor 600 Facebook community, access to one special episode every month, one-time Instagram story shout-out, and Floor 600 stickers, along with a handwritten note from myself and or Quinn.
Who knows? Maybe I'll just put my name on it.
Yeah. So,
and say I wrote the whole thing, even though the rest of it doesn't match my handwriting.
Lovely, suspicious at all. So if you can join us there, please do. If not, no worries. We appreciate that you listen. You comment on our Instagram posts.
Yep.
Send us emails.
We like your feedback. Rate, review, subscribe. We like getting ratings. That brings more listeners and can make more episodes. So
and
rate us.
Yes, do that. You can access our Patreon at patreon.com/floor600.
Yeah. Patreon. What?
Patreon. Patreon.
Patreon. Patreon.com/floor600. Find us now. Yeah. So, be careful out there. We'll see you next time for Sea of
Monsters.
We haven't really fully discussed how many chapters we're reading, but we'll figure it out.
Yes, we will. We're very excited about that.
Yes, we are. So, see you later.
Bye.